The reading is taken from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, which can be found on page 1007 of the Church Bibles. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. This is the word of the Lord.
Is going to come and preach for us.
Good morning, church. A little bit loud. It's a privilege to be able to be here to share God's word with you. Let's just open up in another word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We pray for your word right now, that your word would not return void, but accomplish that which you have sent it. In Jesus' name, amen. As Bart was saying before, we've been going through the book of Mark. We've seen Jesus do some amazing and wonderful things. We've seen him heal the sick. And when he heals the sick, we see great crowds follow him. And as these crowds start following him, he starts teaching them. But he teaches them in parables. And so they don't really understand exactly what he's saying. Last week in chapter 4, we saw Jesus calm the wind and the waves and show that he has control over creation. And this brings us to chapter 5, where after the storm, the boat lands on the other side of the sea. We're now going to see what Jesus does in a land where people don't know the Old Testament. They don't know about who the Messiah is and why he has come. This area has a few different titles. The NIV translated the region of the Gerasenes. And we are going to see him working with these Gentile people, cross-culturally, or in a different context to his previous ministry. And this is how many missionaries work today. They work in a place where they don't really understand the culture. They don't know what's going on around them. In fact, you could say that Jesus took a short-term missionary trip, just one day. We are going to see how Jesus gets related to in comparison with the previous chapters. We are going to look how demons, people, and a man respond to Jesus. Each of these groups of people make a request of Jesus, and we're going to see his response to them. That's where we hope to go today. Let's hope we can find our way through it. The first person that Jesus meets is a man with an evil spirit. And this man has been kicked out of his town. People had tried to subdue him, to tie him up with chains, and they even put iron fetters or like handcuffs on his feet. But he just breaks them every time. He lives inside the tombs, the place where the dead are buried. And every night he would cry and cut himself with stones. To the Jews, he was a very unclean person. He was a Gentile living among the dead, tortured by demons. And when he sees Jesus, he runs up to him and shouting and insisting by Jesus' title not to be tortured. But knowledge of Jesus does not mean a relationship with Jesus. And so even though he knows who Jesus is, those requests fall on deaf ears, as we'll read in the passage. Let's read again, verse 6 to 13. Please don't close your Bibles. We're going to keep going back to that same passage, so I will do that a couple of times. But verse 6 to 13 says, "When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, 'What do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me.' For Jesus had said to him, 'Come out of this man, you evil spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' 'My name is Legion,' he replied, 'for we are many.' And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out into the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus, 'Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them.' And he gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out, went into the pigs, and the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned." A very different story to the way Jesus normally works. Did you notice that we see something different? Every other time that Jesus addresses demons, the demons come out immediately. But here, there's a discussion. We find out there's a legion of them inside this man. And a legion is a Roman number of soldiers, probably up to 3,000 footmen. We don't know exactly how many it was inside this man. We do know that 2,000 pigs died. They request to go into these pigs close by. "Send us among the pigs and allow us to go into them." If you're following your notes, you might see some questions there. This time, Jesus grants their requests. They leave the man, go into the pigs, who immediately drown themselves. Almost like a waste of time, but there you go. Why? Why did they ask? And why did Jesus grant their request? The Bible does not say. And when the Bible does not say, it usually means that it's not that important. Maybe Jesus allowed them to go because of the response. The response was, everyone from the town and the countryside heard about the pigs drowning and wanted to see what happened. This is important for us because we don't always know how God will respond to our prayers. And the request that we make of God, sometimes we think that he has to say yes, and then he says no. In fact, I've heard some preachers say that you can command God to do certain things based on his word. But God does not work that way. He is sovereign. God's ways are not our ways. This moves us to the second group of people, the townspeople. Previously, over the sea, whenever Jesus did some sort of miracle, people came out and would want to bring their sick to him. They want to bring those who are demon-possessed. They want to listen to his teaching. The townspeople come here. They see the healed man dressed and in his right mind. And instead of rejoicing, they get scared. This seems very confusing. Let's read verse 14 to 17. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what happened to the demon-possessed man and told them about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. We can see that these townspeople request Jesus to take his disciples and get in their boat and just go. They don't want them around. I can see their look of shock as they see this man that they'd known for all their lives, screaming and shouting. And they heard about the pigs and they're just saying, please leave our region. We don't want you here. Go. What was the difference? Was it about the loss of money from the pigs? Was it the impossible healing of a man that no one else had been strong enough to subdue? Again, the Bible is quiet. But it is important to realize that these people worship other gods, not the Most High God. In fact, they were shunned by Israelites, and they possibly wanted nothing to do with them. They did not want this outsider to cause a scene in their town. So when Jesus was seen doing the impossible, they wanted to get rid of him as quick as possible. Again, we see Jesus granting their request. And so in verse 18, we see him getting back into the boat and getting ready to leave. Maybe you've had the same sort of experience as this. Maybe in your life, Jesus has done something wonderful. Maybe he's answered a prayer. Maybe you've seen him through his word and you want to go and tell everybody about him. You want to tell people about what Jesus has done for you. But as you start telling people, you realize that they don't want to hear. They don't want to know about Jesus. When you talk about it, it makes people uncomfortable. Don't talk to me about religion. Keep it to yourself. The Bible speaks about this issue in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. And God's word says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death, and to the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." To some people that we will address, the message of the gospel, that message that Jesus is able to take us, sinners, people who are found guilty, and adopt us into his family, cleansing us and purifying us by the blood of the cross, and leading us and adopting us into his family, leading us into a new life. This can be something that's very strange. And to some it can smell like death, and to others it brings life and change. If you are a Christian today, this is a journey you've taken yourself on. You've come to faith in Christ. But if you're not there yet, don't let the story be one that smells bad. Let this be something that you take to heart and recognizes Jesus as the Savior of the world. To the townspeople, they saw Jesus as one who'd removed their livelihood, maybe threatened their religion, and they wanted no part in him. But to the man who had been healed, Jesus was something else. Let's read verses 18 to 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who'd been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him. He said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Our final character is actually the first character that Jesus met. When Jesus first met him, he was tormented by demons, living in the tombs. No one could control him. But now, he is calm. He's dressed in clothes and in his right mind. And when he sees Jesus getting into the boat, he makes this request of Jesus. "Let me go with you. Let me go with you." He wants to become a disciple. What better example of a short-term missionary when Jesus goes across, speaks to the first person, and already somebody wants to become a disciple? However, Jesus refuses this request. And instead, he gives the man a new commission. And he says, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." This man now becomes the local evangelist. Not only does he tell his family and the town where he lives, but he goes on to tell a story to the Decapolis, which is a Greek word describing 10 cities in that area. And the response when he tells the people the gospel is amazement. Can you see the difference between this local evangelist and the short-term missionary? He tells a story and they are amazed. Jesus performs a miracle and people are afraid. There's two very different circumstances going on. Here is a map of the Decapolis, and I've written the 10 cities down. One of those cities we recognize from the book of Revelation. Can anybody see what it is? Philadelphia. We don't know too much about who started the church there, but we do know that this man shared his story there. This man loved his neighbors, and at some point, a church was born, and was known in Revelation 3:7 following as such. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." You have kept my word and not denied my name. I would love for Jesus to return and say of Emmanuel that we have kept his word and we have not denied his name. So Jesus gets back in the boat and left that man with not a lot of teaching. In fact, he was only with him from the time that he chased the demons out till the townspeople came up to see him. Do you think he led him in an 8-week Bible course on discipleship? No. He gave him enough time to get changed, so that shortened his teaching time. He just shared with him. Maybe he loved him. And this man, without a lot of teaching, shared his story with his family, his friends, and the cities around him. The difference was that he loved God and he loved his neighbors. And Jesus, on reaching this one person, completed his mission for now and returned back to the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee. Very quick teaching, very quick understanding, and the man was an evangelist. What does this mean for you and for me? How do we apply this story in our daily lives? For one thing, we recognize that we are in a different cultural context and historical context to Jesus. We also recognize that we're in a different cultural context and historical context to the early church, and even to this side of the sea. But that doesn't change our responsibility. We must still be involved in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way we do it might look a little bit different to the book of Acts, to the book of the Gospels. And we may see different results than what Jesus got. But we do need to understand our context and appreciate how to love our neighbors with the gospel. The mandate is the same, just the context is different. For another thing, we need to realize that when we make requests of God in prayer, we shouldn't always presume that God will say yes. Sometimes, because of the sovereignty of God, he will say no. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We can't see the bigger picture that God can see. And so sometimes when you pray and you believe that this is the right thing to pray for, God might say, actually, I've got a different plan and a purpose going on in the background that you know nothing about. And so my answer for you is no. And so often we think if we say the right words, like the demon had the right title, if we finish our prayer in Jesus' name, if we believe in faith, these things have to take place. But God's sovereignty declares which prayers will be answered and which will be said no to. Our response to Jesus should always be like the man made clean. We need to tell people about Jesus, how much the Lord has done for us, and how he has had mercy on us. Can you say that to someone today, that God has done much for me, and he has had mercy on me? No matter the context, no matter if God's sovereignty has a different plan for our neighbors, for our families, for our friends, for our colleagues, for the people on our front lines, we are called to love our neighbors and tell them the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you, we recognize that you are Almighty God, that there is none beside you, that your thoughts are not our thoughts. You see the end from the beginning. You are Alpha and Omega. And so even now, Father, help us to be witnesses for you, to share your story, to love our neighbors, to love you, to be people who know we've been made clean and want to tell others about you. Thank you from this story in your word that sometimes a mission can be short and sometimes it can be long. But we need to be faithful to you. In your name, amen.